The jagged outline of Blacktooth Mountain loomed outside the Piper Tri-Pacer, so close that Patrick Flint felt like if he opened the window and reached out, he'd be able to touch the cold, unforgiving rock with his fingertips. His pulse accelerated. The peaks exuded a powerful magic. If Wyoming's Bighorn Mountains were his church, the place he felt his strongest connection to God, then Blacktooth was its steeple. If he weren't flying the airplane, he would have closed his eyes for a moment of reverence. A hideous sound inside the plane broke the spell, loud enough that he heard it through his headphones. He banked into a turn that would align the plane to skirt the peaks, on course for a landing strip at the DuBois Municipal Airport, 150 miles away. When the Tri-Pacer had leveled out, he looked over at his 16-year-old daughter, an unwilling co-pilot for the day. Her face was buried in a brown paper bag, with only her blonde hair showing. A book lay face down in her lap. Julie of the Wolves. "Mind over matter, Trish." Her blue eyes lifted and met his.
"I've never even understood what that means." Patrick had been dealing with Trish's motion sickness since she was a small child. She used to throw up before he ever put the car in gear. He knew the fluid in her inner ear was not her friend, but she made it far worse for herself by looking down at a book.
"Eyes on the horizon. You know better than to read in a plane. It makes it worse."
"Can we just go home? I have plans."
She retched again, but it only resulted in dry heaves.
"Drink some water."
He gestured at the canteen he'd brought with them. It was wedged between the seats.
"We'll go home after we fuel up in DuBois and drop off the supplies for the Fort Washakie Medical Center."
While the Riverton Regional Airport was closer to the Shoshone and Northern Arapaho Wind River Reservation Clinic, he didn't like competing with the commercial airliners, and Fort Washakie nurse Constance Teton had agreed to meet him at the smaller airfield in DuBois.
"How much longer until we land?"
"An hour."
She rolled the top of her sloshing bag. It looked dangerously close to bursting, and he was relieved when she set it on the floor. She picked up the canteen and gulped.
"Little sips. Come on, you know this."
She rolled her big eyes. He remembered wistfully the days before she'd mastered the eye roll. Those eyes had gazed at him like he was her hero. It had been a while since he'd seen that expression on her face, at least directed at him. But she took a smaller sip and capped the water.
"Next time, bring Perry. He loves to fly."
"I never get any time with my best girl anymore. And you'll be leaving us soon."
"Dad, it's 1977. I haven't even started my junior year of high school. I'm not leaving until August of 1979. That's like forever, you know?"
2 years. A blink.
She wouldn't understand how fast time flew until she was a parent herself. She sighed and stared out the window. He admired the heavily treed terrain as it flashed beneath them. He'd had a dual purpose for this flight today. The first was to log hours in the Tri-Pacer while doing something useful, delivering an old portable X-ray machine that the hospital in Buffalo was retiring and donating to the Indian Health Service Clinic. He'd finalized the purchase of the Tri-Pacer only a week ago, after leasing it for the last 2 years. He needed to know the aircraft like he knew the human anatomy. It had taken him 4 years of medical school, several of residency, and nearly three of practicing medicine to get to that level of expertise. He'd been a licensed pilot for only 4 years, and he wanted to move on to studying for his instrument rating as soon as he felt he was an expert on everything about his machine.